Live from the studios of Longport Media, it's time for Bob Burns in your afternoon.
We'll talk to Bob.
And now, here's Bob.
All right, we're back. It's 2:07 p.m. On the line is Dick Summer. Dick, how are you today?
Grab it by the butt and make it work. I loved it. That's what you said a little while ago about the book. And you know, you in one sentence, you kind of told the story of the book.
Well, I think we're pretty close to the same generation here, Dick.
Wow, Louie was a good song.
Yes, it was.
You know where that started?
No.
It was down in Jamaica. And it's basically the story of a guy who lost his girlfriend. And he was in a bar, and it was early in the morning. And I don't know if you've ever been under those circumstances. I have.
Occasionally, yes.
And the guy was talking to the bartender, and the bartender's name was Louie. That's where it started.
How about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a little bit like the Frank Sinatra song. It's 2:45. No one in the place except you and me, so stick 'em up, Joe.
That's
it. You can hear those words, stick 'em up, Joe, but it's okay. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great, Dick. I'm glad you're on the line today. Lauren was kind enough to set this whole thing up, and she was kind enough to, because we ended up doing this much quicker than we expected, she sent me a PDF of your book, and I've just been perusing through it, and I'm laughing out loud reading your book, because it's so many things in there that I'll be 65 next month.
Uh-huh.
It's,
your pimples are clearing up.
Yeah, finally. But when I read the foreword, who wrote the foreword on your book? I forget now.
It's a friend of mine who is a very heavy duty pilot, and we talked a lot. He's he has a thing called ailerona, which I think eventually we'll get into. Paul Burge is his name.
Uh-huh.
And he is so good. He is such a good writer that I asked him to write the intro to the book.
It's such a great start. I mean, it's such a picture, and I've seen that picture 1,000 times. I've been part of that picture 1,000 times,
right.
You know?
That's the thing. I think most of us who, been around a little bit, the Louie generation, we've seen most of these things, and that's kind of the story. Would you mind if I read some of that forward, because it is so good?
You can do whatever you like.
Wish I could get my wife to say that. All right, here's what Paul wrote. A late August night, and you're sitting alone on the stoop in T-shirts and jeans. Bottle of orange sweats at your side, and a Philco radio in the windowsill plays Sarah Vaughan, so softly that it stirs a warm breeze as the prettiest girl in the world turns the corner. Neighborhood kids in black sneakers run past her along the sidewalk, chasing fireflies, while the guy across the street sprays a hose along the fins of his 57 Chevy. That was the definitive Chevy, by the way. I think so.
Yeah.
He turns, as you do, to watch the prettiest girl in the world walk slowly through the night air, her summer dress swishing against bare legs, her hair flowing like the waves at Coney Island. That indicates he didn't know Coney Island. I was a lifeguard at Coney Island. The waves at Coney Island didn't flow. They kind of gurgled.
Yeah, they were. It's more of a bay, yeah. Wow. That's a great forward.
One of my favorite towns is Ocean City, New Jersey. There's a little airport there, and I have a little airplane.
Uh-huh.
And your airport at Ocean City, New Jersey, has one of the nicest airport diners in the country. It's right next to the golf course there.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and no, treat yourself. They make the best pancakes in the world.
Huh.
Joe, it's a little plug for the airport.
Yeah, let's go through your life, okay? this is, you've been around the block a couple of times, and you've been a few places, and you've done some great things in your life. I like the story about the basketball. Was it the basketball game when nobody cheered for the overnight guys because nobody knew who you were?
That's true. All the stuff in the book is true.
Uh-huh.
I have been so lucky. I have led such a happy and kind of funny life. And that's, I think, 57 stories in there about my life, which uh-huh. is really neat. And what you're talking about is when I was at WBZ in Boston, I was on the overnight show to begin with, and We had a basketball game against the Boston Patriots, believe it or not. It was a wheelchair basketball game. And, you know, it's like these six skinny little disc jockeys. And the door at the other end of the basketball court opens. Yeah. And these 400-pound guys who make a living by making mashed potatoes out of other guys' brains come walking out onto the court.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, I kind of felt like doing a 180 and becoming a brain surgeon or something instead of a disc jockey. But yeah, I was the overnight guy, so you know there were a bunch of secretaries there from the station,
right?
And they were all cheering for the guys who made the money, the morning guys, the afternoon guys, you know, all those guys. But on the very few occasions I did anything right, I heard this one mezzo soprano cheer, and I looked around, and there she was. Gorgeous long brown hair, big blue eyes, and a sweater that was an epic. And she's cheering for me, so I married her.
Oh, had no choice, right?
Well, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, she cheered for you. Oh, my gosh. Well, there's all these great stories. I really laughed out loud when you did the bit about the answering device.
Oh, yeah, well, that's because, see, most women don't understand that. Most women who set up their own answering machine will say what it says in the script, you know, your call is very important to us, and you know, guys, we do that a little differently. I call that the funny phone fella.
Okay.
And you see, you're on the radio, so you have, an outlet for these things that occur to you, and I used to. But, you know, so I used to do little funny outgoing messages like, "Hi, this is Dick. Please leave a message as soon as possible, and I'll get back to you at the sound of the beep."
I love that.
There was one that I had to take off. It says, "Bridge Kirk here. Beat me up, Scotty." But the best of all, yeah, I thought, on our answering machine was, "Hi, Dick's answering machine is broken. This is his refrigerator. Please speak very slowly, and I'll stick your messages to my door with one of those little magnets."
That's good stuff.
That had too many hang-ups. I had to take that off.
Yeah, I guess you might. So, as you're going through life, now you've written a couple different books. This is not your only book. This is Staying Happy, Healthy, and Hot, right?
Right. Yeah, this is the first... The other books were poetry books.
Okay.
And the folks at Random House and Bantam published them a long time ago. And basically, they were written about the lady who cheered for me at the basketball court.
Oh, okay.
And they're part of, I do a podcast every week.
Uh-huh.
And there's usually, you know, put one of them in there also. I'll give a little plug for the podcast while we're on the air, I guess.
Sure.
It's at www.dicksummer.com/podcasts, free podcast. It's fun.
Where did you start out, Dick? How did you get involved in the radio business? And, you have this...
Poverty.
I'm sorry?
Poverty.
Property.
Poverty.
Poverty. Oh, poverty.
Yeah.
You were in poverty?
My mother set me up to be a lawyer. She thought I'd be a good lawyer.
Okay.
And so I went to Fordham, but they made a mistake, my parents. When I was about eight, they gave me a portable radio.
Uh-huh.
But portable, it was like 47 pounds, but, you know, in those days. And I turned it on. It was a Christmas present, and I heard William B. Williams on WNEW in New York. I don't know if you're familiar with Willie B., but he was amazing. I think I turned the radio off for the first time sometime around Easter, and it was wonderful. Willie B. was, well, I'll give you a little quick story about Willie B. He talked to me. You know, you do that. I listen to your show a little bit, and you talk to people. I mean, you're not just, you know, reading liner cards or something. Willie did that. Willie had a big interest in the boys' club, and he did a lot of stuff for them. And there was a singer a long time ago, you probably remember him, Vic Damone was his name.
Sure.
And Vic Damone was also involved with the boys' club, and he was appearing, and Willie was emceeing a show. And so Vic did an interview on Willie B's show on WNEW in New York, and they were really into it. I mean, they, you know, they, because they really were cared about the cause. And at the end of the interview, there was about a 10-second pause. Now, you're a professional. I mean, how often do you let 10 seconds of silence go through on your radio station? Not often.
Not often, no.
Yeah. So, and then he, Willie simply said, Vic, I really like you. And for some reason, that put me on the floor. Because it was just a guy saying to another guy something that a guy would say to a guy.
How about that, yeah.
And to me, that became the blueprint for what I wanted to do on the radio, because I decided right then I wanted to be on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And you asked how I got started. Well, I went to Fordham, and I got a partial scholarship for the radio station there, WFUV. And then I got a part-time job at a station in New Rochelle. And it went from there to worse. One of the experiences of my life at a small radio station, you have to take the transmitter readings. I don't know if you do or not, but
yeah, we do. I don't, but the producer does.
Okay, well, so you mean a fancy schmancy producer?
Yeah, we're like hot stuff, man.
Yeah, so yeah, we used to look through the station had only one studio, and then there's the glass and the transmitters are behind it. And when I gave my notice, because I was going to leave, because I was graduating from school and I got a job in Albany, and the receptionist there was a young lady upon whom my hormones were humming fairly good, and she knew it. And I was about to sign the station off. There's a 15-minute newscast at the end of the station's broadcasting day.
Uh-huh.
And I had to do it. And I'm standing there, and I started doing the newscast. And she shows up. She went out between the studio and the transmitters, and she started doing a slow strip.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm doing this 15-minute newscast. Okay. And the station owner always listened, because, first of all, he wanted to know what the news was, and second, he wanted to make sure I didn't sign the station off too soon.
Right.
And by the time I got to the sports, I was breathing fairly heavily, and she was down to very little. I hit the weather. She smiled. She got dressed. She blew a kiss, and she left.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And my radio career has been wonderful ever since.
Ever since, huh? The parting shot, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
You know, the blowing the kiss was awful.
Well,
anyway, you asked. That's how it started.
Yeah, you ended up at WBZ. I mean, that's not an easy station to get into. How'd you pull that off?
WBZ was wonderful. I worked at bigger stations, WNEW, WNBC, both of which are gone, by the way.
Yeah.
Gives you an idea of how long it's been. But WBZ was a very special radio station. There's a story in the book about the program director there. His name was Al Hickok, and he is really the father of what people now call classic rock. And the story in the book is about Al. He belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were very kind to put some of my work in there. And I asked, I said, why don't you put Hickok's work in there? And I don't know why, but they just refused to do it. You're a professional, so you'll understand. Most big-time radio stations, the top radio stations in town right now, on a morning show, a really good morning show, or afternoon show for that matter, we'll pull maybe a 10, right?
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't mind having a 10, right?
No, ratings. 10's not bad at all.
The lowest ratings on WBZ were 26.
Wow.
And there was one show that had a 75.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's the kind of station it was. And it was just a wonderful experience working there. And if I hadn't had an offer from WNEW, which is the station that I listened to when I was a kid, I'd stay there forever.
Huh.
Because it was just that way.
Listen, we're going to take a break right now. I want you to, you don't mind staying on the line, Dave. We got a lot more to cover, a lot more to talk about, and I want to encourage anybody that have any questions for Dick Summer. The name of his book is Staying Happy, Healthy, and Hot, and that just was released in October, right? October 2012?
Yeah, it was pacing back and forth in the cage, and they opened the door.
And let it go, huh?
Yeah.
And it's the Louie Louie generation. I'm definitely part of the Louie Louie generation. We got to watch out.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Got to watch out for those pimple people, too. Right? All right. We're with Dick Summer. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. The phone number here is 609-927-1100. If you have a question, you want to talk about your experiences as a part of the Louie Louie generation, we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Atlantic City's News Talk 1400 WOND.
Now, back to Bob Burns in your afternoon on News Talk 1400 WOND.
Okay, we're on the air with Dick Summer. Dick Summer is the author of a book called Staying Happy, Healthy, and Hot, and it's got some great stuff in it, and we're going to try not to give away too many of the secrets there, Dick. You know, because of the Atlantic City connection, I'd like you to talk about Don Imus.
Oh, well, there's a little story in the book about Don Imus. There are several Don Imuses. I worked with him at WNBC. And I started doing the overnight show, and then I moved back to the afternoons, and back and forth and back and forth. But the thing with Don was that he was the morning man, and for a while I was on the air from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. when he was supposed to show up. And a lot of mornings he would come in a half hour late or an hour late. For some mornings, not at all, and that was a little difficult to deal with. I'm from Brooklyn, and there were some times when he kind of got my Brooklyn up, and I guess Don came as close to anybody I ever worked with to finding himself munching on a knuckle sandwich. But then he cleaned himself up. We got off. There was a guy by the name of Bob Pittman, right, who came in and he fired everybody. He fired Imus, he fired Wolfman, he fired Cousin Brucey, he fired me, he fired everybody. And so we all knew it was coming, you know. And Don then went out to Cleveland, where he came from, and he went back out there for a while. And when he came back to New York, I had a hypnotherapy practice. And Don was kind enough to invite me on his TV show. He had a TV show at the time. And he invited me on the show to promote my hypnotherapy practice, which I thought was, you know, very kind of him. And I think it was kind of payback that, you know, he didn't say anything about it, but it was. And I'm just, I got to tell you, I have become a big Don Imus fan. I don't listen to him a lot in the morning. Uh-huh. But the guy, anybody who can come from as far out in La La Land as Don was, and to not just come back to someplace in neutral, but to come back to the kind of guy he is now, is what a story. What a story that is. I have one of my sons has an alcohol problem, and we've been sweating it out for a long time. And I think he's finally found the right answer to that, too. So, you know, all of that is combined in my personal memories of Don Imus, and I haven't spoken to him in quite a while, but on the outside chance that he might be listening, or if somebody listening might say hello for me, because he has become a really, really good guy.
I was, you know, I've listened to Imus a lot. In fact, I probably listened to you, too. When were you on WNBC?
Well, we all get fired. Let me see. What was that? I think it was 76 or 77, somewhere around that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we didn't have a lot of options down here, so we listened to a lot of off the wall, a lot of stuff from New York and Philadelphia, depending upon, you know, how the skip was and what the weather was like. And I remember listening to a lot of you guys on the New York radio stations and hearing Imus in the beginning, and then, you know, listening to him now, I forget, there used to be a station that I could listen to him do his morning show now with his brother out in the with the ranch out in the West, and I'm thinking to myself, is this the same Imus that I remember? Yep. From before, it's like such a total transformation.
Yeah, he has become a good father, a good husband, and a good guy.
Yeah,
and I'm just delighted for him. And, you know, God bless.
God bless, right? Yeah, there's so many interesting things that are in your book here that it just can go on and on and on and on.
The book is basically it's a fun book about keeping your hormones humming a happy tune, hopefully in harmony with somebody else's happily humming hormones, and that's basically what it is. And we talked about the Louie generation. Louie generation lads and ladies don't look like the folks in the TV beer commercials anymore, with their fancy abs and their perky breasts.
Grab some buds, right?
On the other hand, we have no intention of letting ourselves turn into slabs of lukewarm meat.
Yeah.
Like the dreary, dreadful drones.
Oh, no.
Or do we plan on texting while driving nails through our tongues? Like the Clueless Pimple people. That's who we are.
Yeah. Or grab some buds. I like that one, too. That was pretty funny.
That's a true story. I got it. You brought it up.
All okay.
Right, so I'm going to tell it.
You have to tell it.
We go to Mets spring training every year because for my sins, I'm a Mets fan. So is my wife. I grew up in Brooklyn. It's a National League baseball town, so we go down there. I think it was last year we were down there, and the Budweiser had a new slogan. It was grab some buds. And I had not been aware that they had this new slogan until we get down to Tradition Field there in Port St. Lucie, which is another story. But they had a group of very pretty young ladies in very well-filled sweaters bouncing around with a sign on the sweaters that said, grab some buds. That was not a good idea. Have you been to Port St. Lucie?
Not in a long, long time.
But it's God's waiting room.
Is it?
Yes.
That's just what we need, right?
Yeah, I'm the youngest guy in town.
Oh, man.
And there's a little story in the book about that, too. It's just like if you can cross the street on one light, the people who are standing there. The people are standing there, banging their canes and their walkers, and they say, yay, 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 You're just one of the top guys there. It's Saturday nights in Port St. Lucie look like Halloween. It's one of those places.
How do they look like Halloween, Dick? I have to ask that.
Well, they don't need masks to look like that.
Oh, I see. It's just the way it is.
You got to watch out. You kiss somebody like that, you get your teeth stuck in the wrinkles. Really terrible.
Poor James. He's going to hurt himself. You got my producer laughing. And you know how tough it is to make a producer laugh.
He's got a good voice. He answered, well, hi, I'm the producer.
Yeah, we let him. Well, he and I converse a lot because the truth is I am not a professional. This is my golf.
Yeah, you're a town executive, aren't you?
Actually, no. I work. My real job is with an insurance company. I sell insurance and annuities, and I do a lot of Medicare work. And this is I was very fortunate in July 9th, my dad's birthday, when they put me behind this microphone and tore me loose for doing 3 hours in the afternoon. And it's just been. I have a show that actually started today in 1997 on Saturdays called Your Neighborhood Garage, and that's how I got started here at the station doing stuff, and it's just been a real joy ever since. You remind me a lot of my partner on my show on Saturday mornings. His name is Joe Mazey, and he spent his youth in radio. He was from Florida, West Virginia, up and down the coast doing different shows and stuff. And you remind me a lot of my friend Joe Mazey. He does the show with me on Saturdays.
The garage, I like the neighborhood garage. It's kind of like a man cave.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a lot of fun, too. We just kind of open the show, and then we answer questions, and then that's it. Well, Joe is in we call it the Southern Compound. He's moved down to Key West, Florida, and that's where he lives now. And he does this show by way of Zephyr. And, it sounds like he's here in the studio. We have a good time. We've been friends for longer than most people have ever been married, over 30 years. And, we kind of play off of each other, and we have different personalities. Ask me what time it is, I'll tell you it's afternoon because I don't wear a watch. And you ask him what time it is, I'll tell you about the first sand clock that was ever made. So, that's the way it goes. But, I'd say radio guys have been – I did the same thing you did as a kid. I got the radio, and it was just – I was enthralled. Here were these guys, Big Brucey, the Wolfman, all those guys you talked about. These are guys that were part of my youth. And,
That's right.
There you are. You're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, they were kind enough to include a couple of minutes for some of my shows in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, and it was I would be lying to you. In fact, there's a story in the book about the day that email came. It's not the kind of thing you forget. But there are other people who really deserve to be there. And as I said, certainly Al Hitchcock is one of those. But, it's a fascinating thing to go and see that, it gave me a little extra power with my kids. Holy cow, Dad.
You're actually in the Hall of Fame, huh?
Yeah. This book is just all full of basically happy stuff, there's funny stuff, but there's a couple of real points that I wanted to make in this book.
Sure.
And one of them is basically what you said. You know, sometimes you got to kind of grab it by the butt and make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy Mario was down visiting a year or so ago. And I used to play a lot of baseball, and so did he. And we were out front playing catch, and he threw the ball. It was a little high, and I reached for it, and I've reached for the ball there a zillion times. I reached, and the ball went about an inch over my glove. Now, when you played as much baseball as I have, you know how far you have to reach to grab the ball. You know, and it's, whoa. And I noticed in the past couple of years that some of my friends, guys I used to play ball with and had a lot of fun with, becoming more and more like slabs of lukewarm meat. Like they just kind of, sit around and not doing much, watching a lot of TV, drinking a lot of beer. Well, it's okay, but this is not life. So that was the purpose, really, of doing the book. I think one of the reasons that people let themselves become slabs of lukewarm meat is basically that there aren't very many examples of people who do otherwise in the public eye.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most of the people you hear a lot about, have recently had their braces removed and their pimples have just cleared up. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's us too, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
And one of the important points of the book is that I think we need to have a gratitude attitude. And what I mean by that is, my wife had a bad accident about 4 years ago. She was a horse person, and she was thrown from her horse, and she was hurt very badly, And we've been together for a very long time, and I don't have to tell you, what happens in a situation like that. And for a while, it was kind of touch and go as to whether or not she was going to make it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I started hating God. And it's kind of confession here, Father Bob.
Yes. go ahead, my son.
And then I started thinking to myself, wait a minute. Basketball game. And I do remember that basketball game.
Uh-huh.
And all of the good things that we've had, a lot of them are in the book, too. I mean, but
yeah,
she's been with me for more than 40 years now.
Lady Wonder Wench, huh?
My Lady Wonder Wench is what I call her, yeah. And she's extraordinary. She makes me feel powerful because she lets me make her feel beautiful.
That's great. I've read that. I like that.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Yeah.
And we have this thing going, and I see so many guys and their wives my age, our age.
Right.
And, they're walking along someplace, and she's maybe walking a few steps behind him, and she's texting, and he's doing whatever he's doing. They're paying attention to themselves. Like, why be together if you're not going to pay any attention to people?
That's right.
What's the sense?
That's right.
So I think, and all of us, you know, you get up in the morning and your bones creak a little more than they, you know, as you like to have them and all that kind of stuff. But the gratitude attitude has to clip in, you know, and put it into a context. And there's a character in the book, I call him Big Louie, because if it's the Louie generation, you got to have a Big Louie, okay?
Yeah.
And what he says is, you can never tell when something wonderful is going to happen.
That's right.
And sure it is. Of course it is.
Yep.
She was driving down the block the other day. She called me. She stopped. She called me. She said, I just saw a blue heron. And she had that sound in her voice like, oh, my God. And it was just a blue heron had landed on one of the neighbor's lawns for some reason. And it was magic. And you never know when that's going to happen. I didn't know I was going to, you know, this mezzo-soprano voice was going to cheer for me at that basketball game.
Yeah.
And our lives are made up of so many of those little things. There's a story in the book about that, too. It's about, the story's called Click Here, and it has to do with the fact that in New York, the Chrysler Building is one of the tallest buildings in the world. Did you know it's made of bricks?
Bricks, no.
Think about this.
Wow.
A brick is what, 6 inches thick, something like that?
Yeah.
Bunch of guys stacked 6-inch bricks up one at a time until they got quite a view. Just a little thing, one little thing after another, after another, after another. You just never know when something wonderful is going to happen. So Big Louie says, you know, just keep that in mind and the gratitude attitude. And he says, you know, if you still have any moving parts left, for God's sake, move them.
I think we have our friend Joe from Manahawkin on the line, and he wants to say hi.
Okay.
Joe, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
All right.
Hey, Dick. When you were at the WBZ, a couple of guys I grew up with worked there. One of them, they was named Robert Ames. He did the news. And Steve Mortarano.
Yeah, I think they were probably after I was there. I was there shortly after Marconi, Joe.
Along with Pinky, right?
He was my nighttime engineer. I was there in the mid-60s, 63 to 68. So they were probably still zygotes at the time.
Yeah, they came a little bit after 68.
How about
Steve Lovelli?
Who?
Steve Lovelli from WBC, just retired.
Steve Lovelli, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, Steve Lovelli?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And Jenna Rosa?
I was there with Carl D'Souza. Do you remember Carl D'Souza? Carl D'Souza, Bruce Bradley. Hmm?
She just turned 100 years old. Jenna Rosa.
As Bob said, I've been around the block a lot of times.
A couple of times, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
what are you doing, Joe?
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling, buddy. Take care. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dick.
No, I was just wondering what he did to know the guys from BZ.
There were probably guys he grew up with, but he's a little bit younger than I am.
Oh my Lord!
Yeah.
Well,
so he's.
But you know, one of the things that people have to remember is that just because you're young, don't give up. I mean, if you mature and you keep the gratitude attitude, you may develop into a Louie lad or lady. I mean, it does happen, and you should keep hope in your heart that will happen.
I got one more thing I want to do here, and what I'll do is I'll just keep you on, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll go into the next hour. This is pretty cool. We do Nostalgia Fridays, and usually I have a young lady who's 17-year-old senior at one of the local high schools, and she and I give away prizes for Nostalgia Friday. You know, people call them with stories and stuff, and I always have a little special subject I want to talk about. And, you know, you talking about this just kind of leads into my 3 o'clock hour. But this is one section in your book, and I think this is, well, first of all, if my dad knew that rock and roll was going to be called classic, he would have never understood that. right, and it's chapter 49, and it's Rock and Roll Is Here to Stay. I'm sitting in my big, manly, comfortable black leather papa chair. Now you start a lot of these chapters off with that, which is good because I got an email a little while ago with some news that would have knocked me down if I weren't already sitting. When I finished reading it, I called my lady wonder wench, who's your wife, to tell her about it, and she said something sounded like, "Oh my God, wow." I think she was holding her cell phone at arm's length as she got to the word wow. I only think that's what she said because the last word came out on a note that was so high and loud I couldn't really hear it. But golden retrievers for three blocks around fled in terror and windows and eyeglasses cracked all over the zip code. It was great news, but I really screwed up my day because I completely forgot about everything else, including the fact I was supposed to do an interview on a radio program about my books and CDs. Forgetting something like that was not only unprofessional, it was completely inconsiderate and impolite. I'm a Louie generation guy. Louie generation guys have manners. You're right, too. Absolutely, you're right. You probably stop at stop signs, too, right?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. I guess I should tell you about the email that knocked me down. I feel kind of funny about it, but if I don't tell you, you'll probably hear it anyway. Because of the folks who sent me the email say they plan on doing quite a bit of publicity. The note says in part, "Dear Dick Summer, the museum has just unveiled a complete redesign that tells the story of rock and roll in a more linear fashion. We have updated all museum technology to the state of the art, including the interactive kiosks. You and your impact on rock music are featured in the new exhibit. Signed, Margaret Treasure, Director of Communications, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum." Oh my God, wow. I need to know about that.
That was something.
I bet.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, one of the nice things about the Rock and Roll Museum is the rock and roll is basically, it's not polite. And that's one of the reasons why I selected Louie as the theme song for the generation. Because I think you should be polite, but you know, you got to live your own life. You know, as you said, you really nailed it. You said, sometimes you got to grab it by the butt, you know, and live it the way you think you should live it.
Right.
So, you know, you put your finger on it pretty good, guy.
Well, what did you do that was the impact? I want to know.
WBZ Radio was a very, very powerful radio. It's a clear channel station. You would understand what that is. There's nobody else on that frequency.
I used to listen to it here.
Yeah. I had ratings in Washington, D.C. and in Chicago, and I had a fan club in Los Angeles. It was that kind of signal. And we used to play a lot of album cuts that nobody else played, you know, things like The Doors and Jimi Hendrix and, you know, stuff like that, because there was no fun. I told you about the ratings, you know, which were incredible. And people used to call all the time and say, "What's the format?" Well, there wasn't any format. The format was that there was no format. Every month, the program director would call a DJ meeting, and we'd go in, and just before he finished the meeting, he'd say, "Don't forget to play some of the records I bring into the studio." That was the music list. We used to play stuff from our own collections, or people would, you know, come in with a tape, and we listened to the tapes. If we liked the tapes, we'd play them. There was one time I got off the air. I had done a record hop, like from 7 to 11 or something, and my show was on at 12. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. I was really beaten. The guard came in. He said, "There's a guy outside with a guitar, and he wants to play for you." I said, "Oh, my God, it's the last thing in the world I need to hear at 6 o'clock in the morning is some kid playing the guitar." But, you know, okay, he's a listener, and I treasured listeners.
Right.
You know, that's where it's at. So, okay, I sat down. There's this kid standing there. He's Hispanic kid, and he's got this old pea jacket. I remember pea jackets are blue.
Yeah, little blue ones.
Things,
yep.
And torn jeans and old sneakers, and he's got this beaten-up old guitar. And he started playing, and he was playing Malagueña Salerosa. And I don't know if you know.
No.
that is just a gorgeous piece of music. And it was beautiful. And I said, what's your name? And he said, Jose Feliciano.
Oh, my gosh.
and that's the way the station was.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, people would come in, and so I played the hell out of his tape.
Yeah, I guess so.
but you know, it wasn't because he was a big name. It was because it was good music.
It was good, yeah.
And so that's the kind of station it was. And they were kind enough to say that my show was instrumental in kicking off some pretty good-sized careers. I had guys like Cream, you know, Eric Clapton in there in his first tour of the United States. you get a kick out of this. I was interviewing him, and he said, you know, I really hope this tour works, because if it doesn't, the record company probably won't re-sign us. Okay. This is Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah. But it was that kind of station.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it was a little like your station. I get the feel for your station. Your station is the kind of station people would drop in. The guy was on last hour, the commander.
Yeah.
Was talking about how he just, you know, like, dropped in.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Well, that's the way radio should be, my friend.
It is. We're live and local.
And it's not anymore.
No.
I hope the people who are listening to this radio station understand what a treasure it is to have this kind of a thing. Because almost every radio station out, you know, you take the network, you got about six guys doing shows on every station in the country.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, we have six different radio stations here, and we're live and local on all of them. This radio station is a talk radio, and we're live and local from 6 a.m. in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. There's a live person behind the microphone every minute of the day. And we're also live overnight. We do big overnight shows, Coast to Coast and Jim Bohannon, and, you know, that's our overnight stuff. So we're live even overnight. So we have Longport Media is our owner, and Dave Kosky is our president, and he's just got this vision of the way radio should be. He's a radio guy. You know, grew up listening to the radio just like you and I did, and he's been able to take it and make it do what it's supposed to do, and it's just been a real thrill to be part of this whole process. So it's cool.
It's good. I'm glad that you appreciate it too, because the way things are right now is, well, I won't get into that because it's sad, and I really loved being on the radio. I just loved it.
It's cool, isn't it?
But yeah, it is. But I you know, in today's radio, I wouldn't be interested in unfortunately going back. And that's one of the reasons I started writing the book. Because, you know, I will never make a mark. You know, some guys make a mark on life. They become the president, or they, you know, find a cure for cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think everybody would kind of like to make a little smudge.
That's it.
And that's basically, I think, the reason for them. In fact, this is an article. This is one of the stories in the book is called "The Smudge," and it's one of the second reason for wanting to write the book is all in that one chapter. And I won't get into it because you know, I think you probably got some commercials coming up.
Actually, I got one more guy who wants to talk to you, and then we're going to have to take a call today.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Bob. Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you.
What anniversary is it?
I'll be 16 years on the radio today.
Oh, congratulations, Bob.
Thank you. Ides of March.
Dick, I've been a listener back in my basement in Philadelphia back in the mid-60s at WBZ. Were you on at night?
Yeah.
Was one of your commercial advertisers the Unicorn Club?
Yes, the Unicorn Coffee House.
Please tell and say one more time before you leave the air the poem that you used to say, the quee of the quay.
One hen, two ducks, three squawking geese, four limberg oysters, five corpulent porpoises, six pair of dial measures, tweezers, 7,000 Macedonians in full battle array, eight brass monkeys from the ancient sacred crypts of Egypt, nine apathetic, sympathetic, diabetic old men on roller skates with a marked propensity to procrastination and sloth, 10 lyrical, spherical, diabolical denizens of the deep who all stall around the corner of the quo of the quay of the queasy at the very same time. You are
excellent.
A gentleman and a scholar to remember that.
Prove to you how long I've been waiting since the mid-60s to hear hear that again.
Do me,
I listen
do me
every
a favor,
night right? in my basement on the transistor radio.
Okay.
My dear friend, it's so good.
Do me a favor. Send me an email at dick@dicksummer.com, and I will send you a recording of the password.
Not only that, but I'd like to talk to you about doing voiceovers.
Oh, okay. You do voiceovers?
I'm trying to break into that market.
Oh, lots of luck. Right, drop me an email, and we'll talk.
I wrote it down, Rob. I got it. dick@dicksummer.com.
You're my hero, Dick. Thank
well,
you
I come from a hero is a sandwich. So,
that's it.
Okay.
Thank you. This is the proof to you how much I remember.
I appreciate it. You take care.
Thanks, Rob.
Talk to you about it.
All right. We've been with Dick Summer for the last hour. Dick, this has been a fabulous interview. I certainly appreciate it. We will send Lauren a link that'll give her a copy of everything that we've said today.
Oh, that's great, because I like to listen to this back, too. This was fun, Bob. And congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
And may you do at least 16 more on the Ides of March.
Thank you, Dick. Dick Summer, the book is Staying Happy, Healthy, and Hot. Dick, thank you so much. You take care.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye. All right. That was Dick Summer. That was a cool interview, huh?
That was very cool.
Rock and roll is here to stay.